today on Real Radio.
Some of you might even be in the midst of a fiery trial right now, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 3, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but of course soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In What Glorifies God, Parts 1 and 2 from Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, we discovered that we can glorify God through repentance, confession, praying in Jesus' name, sexual purity, and living a fruitful life. And now in Part 3, we'll see that love and acceptance, unity, compassion, suffering, and eagerly awaiting Christ's return also glorifies God. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that compassion brings glory to God when it moves us to the point of action. And through suffering, whether God heals us or doesn't, it brings him glory. And to God be the glory as we eagerly await for his return. And now, continuing in his lesson called What Glorifies God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We've been saving up for a long time to get our two daughters to Russia this summer. And the reason, my reason, Lisa's reason might be different. My reason is to get those kids out on those streets to see a life and to see a world and to see a place that is so different that in them I'm praying that a ministry would be born out of their lives. Rebecca has a tendency towards missions, and this ought to be a really neat thing. Ashley, I don't know. We'll see. She, you know, if it doesn't have a Mighty Duck on it or a hockey puck, then she's not really interested in it. But when we get on those streets, I want their lives to be moved with compassion. How many of you, over 100 of you, have been there? And you look at these people, and out of the bowels, Jesus said, the bowels of your heart, you're moved. You'll take your shirt off to give it to somebody. I complimented one man on the street, wasn't even a Christian. I said, hey, that's a nice shirt. It reminds me of sunny Southern California, where I'm from. And the man says, you like my shirt? And I said, yes, a very nice shirt. And he took his shirt off to give me his shirt. And he wasn't even a Christian. So how do you like it? I'm kidding. I almost offended him by making sure he kept it on. It was really a weird deal. They were so giving. But our hearts need to be moved with compassion. We see somebody in need. You see a nation in need, and you've got to be moved. Compassion is a mark of Christ in your life. The word in the Greek, compassion, means to have the innermost yearning. And the old King James puts it bowel. Jesus was moved in his bowels with compassion. The word simply means in the depths of his regions, somewhere below the heart, certainly, where you're absolutely consumed. The word also means to feel the deepest of sympathy, to have the strongest of pity. And here's the neat thing that's built into the Greek word for compassion. It is to have those feelings always with the intent to act upon what you see. In other words, the compassion is in your life to the point you must alleviate the pain, or else you won't even be able to handle it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen that happen? You ever been to Mexico? Excuse me, forget Mexico. You can go to Watts. You can go to Compton. You can go to downtown LA and see someone. You can go to Los Angeles Street. And you drive by there or you walk by there. You better drive by there. But you see somebody, your heart stops. It's Jesus in you. Something's got to happen. It's supernatural. Compassion leads to benevolence. Jesus gave us the example in Matthew 9:36. Jesus said there, the scripture says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, and they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Oh, isn't that neat? Precious Jesus. In Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Isn't that great? The example that we are to leave for others is the example that Jesus has left for us, but that's found in 1 John 3:17. In 1 John 3:17, scripture says, but whoever has this world's goods, and by the way, almost all of us are rich concerning to the standards of the world around us, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how can the love of God dwell in him? The declaration that John is making in his epistle is the love of God does not dwell within him. Because when Christ is in you, you will be moved to action to alleviate someone's pain in whatever way God has blessed you to help him. In James 2:15, the scripture says there, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. You're pronouncing a blessing. When you were going out of the homes in those days, they would say, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, brother. God be with ye. If you did that to your Christian brother, and he's like going, man, I'm like major starving. I have no shoes on my feet. I have no place to live. And you in your palace say, well, you know, it's 10 o'clock, time to go to bed. Depart in peace, brother. Be warmed and be filled. God be with ye. And the guy walks out of the house with no place to go. Then how dwells the love of God in you? In Paul's declaration to Timothy and to Titus, to the ministers of the gospel, he mentions in there one of the attributes is that you are to be hospitable. That means take in the brothers and sisters into your home. It's a mark of Christ in your life. But we are so selfish by nature. And that's something that we have to fight. And I think our Western civilization is more selfish than any other. In fact, I know it's true. Very self-centered. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:9, offer offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Isn't that great? Oh, would you like to have this? No, thanks. Oh, yeah, please. You know, we're supposed to hear. Would you like to have the last piece of the Oreo cookie and cream pie? Oh, no. Oh, please, please. Okay, thanks. Oh, brother, here, take it. We're so funny. Oh, would you like to sit in the front? Please say no. Please say no. Please say no. We're so selfish. We're supposed to be hospitable. Show hospitality without grumbling. Man. Take the front seat and let it be a thing of our heart, man. And then the ninth thing that gives glory to God is suffering. Suffering. How can that give glory to God? Well, it sure does in a lot of powerful ways. In fact, we can only mention a few. First of all, suffering brings glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Some of you might even be in the midst of a fiery trial right now, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Some of you are really taking a hard hit at your job. Some of you are being ridiculed and mocked. You're the only Christian in your company. And you want to get out. You want to bail out. Listen, hang in there. The glory of Christ is upon you. God is being glorified through the suffering that you're going through. Well, I'm sick physically. I've got an ailment. God is going to be glorified in that. Glorified. We've been praying for this body, it seems like the last couple of months. Man, we're getting prayer request after prayer request of somebody coming down, somebody being diagnosed as having cancer. And God is healing some, and some he's not healing. And let me tell you something right now. The person that is not getting healed, what do you think they feel like? They better feel like, they need to understand, I guess, that God loves them just as much as the man that has been healed. I don't understand it. I don't know why we lay hands on one person and they're healed of leukemia outright, completely healed, miracle. Then we lay hands on someone else who's got something less, but it's certainly life-threatening, and you lay hands on them, you anoint them with oil, and they die. Is it eeny, meeny, miny, mo? No. God loves. God is to be glorified in the death of that person or in your sickness or in your healing. God is glorified. Don't ask me to explain it. He's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. I can't give you the answer. This week, we got a phone call in D.C. Jim died. We've been praying for him. When he first had his horrible attack and everything came down the way it did, we were all prayed for his salvation. Remember, they told us, we announced it from this pulpit, he had 3 days to live. And he lived for months, but during that time of severe, unbelievable suffering, he came to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He received Christ. His greatest burden, the last time I met with him, was for his sons to come to faith in Christ. Let me tell you, a man lived all those years that he lived, and then to get born again, and his greatest thing was not to be healed. I'm sure he would have received it if God would have given it. It was, my Jack, I want my boys to be saved. How do you explain that? Suffering does that in someone's life. My mother came to faith in Christ a month before she went home to heaven because of suffering. Are you suffering? First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to say, God, if you're out there, do something with me. And stop blaming him. Stop blaming him for your suffering. All your life, you've been saying, I don't need him. I don't want him. Get out of my face. Don't show me a Bible. Don't talk to me about God. And now you're suffering. You're suffering because God loves you. He's breaking down your will. And I speak from experience. So you'll say yes to him. Right before I got into the ministry, I got terribly sick, and I had a certain thing that kept me on the bathroom for 9 months. Missed unbelievable amounts of time of work. They put me through every test, everything. They say, well, you could have cancer of this, you could have cancer of that, you could have this, or you could have that. None of them were very good. 9 months, lost 22 pounds, getting ready to die. Man, I was scared. And I just said, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. But I tell you, man, the air smelled precious to me every day at that time. My kids, I couldn't get enough of smelling them and kissing them. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, I've given you this. This is from me. This sickness that you have is mine. I've given it to you to keep you usable in my hand. And people, many of you have prayed, Lord, heal Jack of Crohn's disease. Heal Jack of Crohn's disease. Don't pray that anymore. God told me it's for me. It's mine. At any moment, he can touch me and I'm on my back. And that's how he keeps me in line. Don't pray that God would take it away. Paul the Apostle, concerning suffering, he said, for this thing I prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You may not be a Christian and you've been suffering. Stop blaming God and say, Jesus, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Listen, we're all going to die anyway. Receive him. You need him. But suffering brings glory to God. Polycarp, the pastor of the church of Smyrna, they took him out. They were going to kill him. They put Polycarp and all the people, and he had a rather small ministry at that point in time. They put him on the stake, And he was 83 or 86 years old. You can read this in Fox's Book of Martyrs. They tie him up and they say, Polycarp, simply denounce Jesus Christ as Lord. Say Caesar is Lord and we'll let you go. And he says, no way. So they cinched him up. They started the fire. And the Roman centurion said, old Polycarp, these flames are going to be hot and you're going to burn. Just simply confess Caesar as Lord and you'll be safe. And Polycarp turned to that Roman soldier and he said, listen, these flames might be hot, but not nearly as hot as where you're going if you don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And history says that Roman centurion came to faith in Christ, but they burned Polycarp. He melted on the cross as he was singing praises to God. This is history. It's authentic. It's in Roman records. And in his death, his life produced more Christians in his death than he did all the days of pastoring that church in Smyrna. Suffering brings glory to God. The Bible says in Psalm 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We have so much more to say on this, but time does not permit. The 10th point, the final point, is what gives glory to God is awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. Awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. Listen quickly and carefully. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him Jim and my mom and whoever else you know is in Christ. Put their name in there. For this we say to you, this is Paul speaking, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord, Paul was expecting to get raptured at any moment, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive at his coming shall be caught up, harpazo in the Greek, or rapture in Latin, together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith in this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is that? His coming for us. His coming for us and us being ready brings glory to God. In 1 John 3:2, you know these scriptures. You've gotten them 1,000 times at this church. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the children of God, but it does not yet have been revealed what we shall be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as Christ is pure. What hope? That God could come back at any moment. Hey, are we going to go out to dinner today? Yeah, maybe, Lord willing, if he doesn't come back first. Is Michael Sewell going to put on a concert tonight? Yeah, maybe, if God doesn't come back first. Isn't that great news? I love living like this. Especially when I look at the lawn and it's getting out of control. The Lord could come back tomorrow. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you know. Get the MasterCard bill. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. Every day we need to be ready. That gives glory to God. You want to know why? Because the Bible says Jesus told us that when that servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and begins to get loose in his conduct, and begins to drink, and to begin to hit his servants, no respect any longer. He begins to go out and carouse about and be loose in his conduct. Jesus says that the Lord will come upon him in an hour that he thinks not, and the Son of Man will come in a moment when that man is not aware, and he will be cut a portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because he wasn't ready. And finally this, we give glory to God by watching for the return of Jesus Christ because Jesus told us in Matthew 25, and why don't you turn there and we'll end with this portion of scripture, Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. Jesus said, then the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins, not 5 virgins and 5 loose girls. He says, 10 virgins, 10 good girls, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. By the way, if you're Jewish, you understand this much more than we all do. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Uh-oh, took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, by the way, in Israel, nobody knows when the bridegroom's coming. The bride is there, the food's there, everybody's been invited, and he can take up to 7 days in coming. How do you like that for a wedding? You know, hope the guy gets, I'm expecting a phone call any moment. Well, you got to wait there. And when he comes, unannounced, you better be ready because you go into the marriage celebration and then they shut the door and you can't get in. That's why Jesus spoke this way. But he was delayed. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, hey, give us some oil, for our lamps are going out. Going out, not out, but going out. But the wise answered and said, no, not so, at least there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went and bought, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't even know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Serious stuff. Listen, Christian, you can close your Bible. We're all done. When's the last time you checked your oil? How's your oil? How's your level? The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Scripture declares that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Word of God, in the fellowship of His people, repenting, confessing, praying, being sexually pure, having a fruitful life, being accepting of others and loving, being united, having compassion, suffering, knowing that your suffering has a purpose in Christ, and awaiting His return. 10 things that bring glory to God. May it be so in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. And Lord, we simply want to give You the glory. We never, never want to be like Herod and rob You of glory by, Lord, receiving it. May all that we do, Father, be humbly perform before Your people and before the world, that when they see it, they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And as we close out Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, we know that all of existence was created to bring glory to God. What Glorifies God, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in Eternal Impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.